Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello one and all, and welcome to the latest episode of Behind the Glass. This week, I am joined not by Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Thank God.
But by Paul Wallace from Hello. Supercars of London. Thank God is such a good thing to say, actually. I was getting really sick of Tony's attempted humour. You join me in the living room of my house. I still haven't sorted out my studio office yet as a dedicated podcast space. So instead, we're in my living room. I hope my girlfriend doesn't get back from work and walk in. Oh, I'm shagged. Oh, no, no, I'm not. Anyway.
Great choice of words.
Thank you so much. Welcome to the new format of Behind the Glass. You were a guest on the original format of Behind the Glass. Yeah, you were quite sleepy that day.
I was very tired, which is why I've decided to have a little nap before this podcast.
Oh, thank you so much.
So that I am ready.
Ready and raring to go. And by nap, you mean a monster. Hashtag ad. Turn you down a bit because you have a loud laugh. Okie dokie. So I want to kick things off with, I think, probably the most important topic when it comes to us two these days.
Cars.
No, but the fact that 6 months ago, let's be realistic. Okay. We were both in two of the newest supercars out on the road, Lamborghini Huracan and a McLaren 540C.
We were.
Now, I'm in a Ferrari 360 from 2002, and you're trying to buy a Lamborghini Murcielago.
I know.
What's happened to us? What has happened to us? Why do you think we've done such a U-turn in our car buying ways?
I tell you what, I'm going to start with the U-turn that I've done, because do you remember?
In life.
12 months ago, I was so pro new cars.
Yeah.
I still am in a way. Like, the modern classics to me are right at the...
You said 2008 was your cutoff?
Anything before 2008 was
you
too
just didn't
early.
Yeah, you didn't care. Because
like, I was
I'm
like,
done.
McLaren F1, the 458 and everything like that is better. Is that a good way to start this podcast?
No. You might get ripped apart.
But
now,
I think that it really kicked... It really opened my eyes when I was driving a McLaren 570S and... came across Ferrari Enzo.
Okay.
And then everyone was like, oh, the McLaren's fast. And I'm like, nah, it's not. And I went on Google and I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God, actually
these new cars are...
too good.
Too good. And I think that the U-turn, speaking from my experience, is having access to all of these new cars, going on these incredible media drives and having the opportunity of experiencing so many fresh cars that are on the market. That they kind of all become a little bit blurry. You lose a sense of occasion. But at the same time, manufacturers are trying to weasel out all of these little problems that cars have to make them so clinical.
They all become very similar because of that. They're all so good and so capable. Long gone are those... I mean, the Huracan is pretty uncomfortable, but long gone are those days of people going, oh, I can't drive a supercar more than 10 miles and you can't park it and it's awful in town. They're all brilliant at everything, you know, and both of our cars were testament to that. The 540C and the Huracan, incredible. We did long road trips in them. We modified them. We hooned around and then took them through town and they were great, but they became a little bland because we were spoiled enough or are spoiled enough to jump into other ones that are just as good.
Yeah.
So then you lose the reason behind why your car is so special. And I couldn't remember. I couldn't figure out why it was more special than anything else. It was just costing me a ton of money.
Well, the Lamborghini Huracan, you flick it into comfort mode, or Strada as they call it, and it becomes an Audi A3. It's the size of one, the steering is as light as one, and whilst, yes, you're a little bit lower and the visibility is slightly less, you can drive it like an Audi A3. Yeah. So... I think the specialness of new cars is slowly diminishing the further we get through with all of this new technology. Going back to like 2008 when I was going into London and filming these supercars, like you would see like one Murcielago, a couple of 430s. It was so rare that you would see like a hypercar, like an F50 or an Enzo. Whereas now you go to London and they're everywhere. And it comes down to the fact that they're so easy to drive that anyone can jump in them, so they're dailyable.
Yeah,
the LaFerrari 918 and all of that lot are dailyable.
You see them everywhere, and we're overexposed in that sense, and we are spoiled because I still lust after new cars come out, and I'm like, God, it'd be amazing to own that. And don't get me wrong, if I had all the money in the world, I'd probably buy back a 540C.
Yeah, we're not slagging off new cars. We're just
saying that our taste, specific to I think our narrative, our storyline over the last 12 to 18 months has changed and progressed so rapidly that we're actually now going backwards in time.
Yeah.
Because we are chasing this sort of, you know what I think it is?
Go on.
Do you remember like the first like real supercar experience you had? Not like, oh, I drive a LP640 on track. Like, you know, go through YouTube, cool, take my 430 Scud for a test drive. What was it?
My first proper experience was jumping in a Gallardo around central London for a passenger ride.
Okay, what about driving though?
Oh, God. Yeah. My first experience was picking up my R8.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's quite... But no, that's, wow. You got insured? But that is quite telling in a sense where I'm trying to think back to mine. The Stradale always stands out in my mind, but I definitely...
You drove a couple of Ferraris in Italy, right?
Yeah, I drove a 458 Spider in Italy. But I think what it is we, or I, am chasing that sensation I got from the first time I had that. And because we're so spoiled, if that was my only experience driving a 458 Spider in Italy, I think all I would want in life is a 458 Spider.
Yeah.
But I've been spoiled now and driven things like a 720S or a Huracan Spider or whatever it might be, a Morgan. Mm. And I'm like, there's so much. They're all so good. Yeah. But they're not giving me that sense of occasion.
You're not pulling your heartstrings.
No. Whilst for me, the 360... I nearly died. I need to show you a clip, actually. I nearly died at 10 miles an hour yesterday. I'm just going to show Paul this clip whilst he's sat on the laptop. I've got rid of the screen. Hold on. This will be worth it, I promise you. Because this is what I mean. The car is so exciting to me and so emotive, even when I'm going at, why is this not working? This is really not going well, is it? Hold on a sec. I've got it on here somewhere. But even when I'm going really slow and not doing very much...
You still have a smile on your face.
Literally 10 miles an hour pulling into a side street.
Incredible.
And it went sideways. And, you know, that made me feel excited and, I just love it.
Okay, that has made me real... Like, it's given me a trigger in the brain. What I've been saying quite recently is... Cars that want to kill me as I drive them close to the edge is what gets me excited.
Yeah.
When you feel like you're on the edge of the car taking control of what you're doing. Whereas all of these new cars have got so many computers on board that when you come out of a corner, you're not sure whether you did that or the car did that. The cars now that excite me are the ones where you come out of the corner knowing you did that. And
good
when
point.
I drove the Murcielago...
A bit more analog, basically.
Exactly. When I drove the Murcielago for the first time in Los Angeles, I felt the revolutions of the engine in the pedals.
Okay.
I felt every single...
Probably because it was broken.
I felt every bump through the steering wheel. My seat was vibrating and heating up because the engine was getting warmer. Mm. And all of that sort of... combines with you sitting in the driver's seat and basically holding on for dear life, hoping that you're going to get round the corner, just involves you so much more as a driver than all of these computerized cars that are now coming onto the roads.
But do you think that's because that sort of mid-level supercar, the 488s, the Huracans, the 650Ss, the 720, or in 720 maybe not, but, well, actually maybe. that's a police helicopter flying around my house. But are we a level two below? Have those the ones become sanitized? Because, for example, all I hear about with the F12 TDF is that it kills you.
Yeah.
And a Koenigsegg looks like the most terrifying thing to drive in the world. And the P1 apparently moves around a ton. Like, maybe there are still those cars being made, but they're harder to find and they're not so evident. While the general stuff, the accessible stuff, the stuff we're seeing everyone going by because of financing and the fact that the world's a richer place and Instagram is telling us when people buy these cars.
Yeah.
For example, the GT3, yeah. Tony's new GT3, mm-hmm. did not expect that to be as lively as it was.
Really?
Really didn't. And it really thrilled me. For a car that, you know, I haven't been a Porsche fan until the last 6 months,
yep.
I wouldn't have thought would be something that would sort of throw you around. I always thought it would be super planted. And I feel like the previous generation was, but I drove it on pretty warm, on dry days, I'm pretty sure. This car, from the first acceleration I did, I was like, whoa! Like, and so maybe it's just... the majority have become too sanitized.
I believe that's what it is. And okay. I also know that manufacturers are building cars with a wider breadth of ability. And I'm using that phrase from McLaren.
Yeah.
Because they love that in the McLaren 720S.
They love the wider
breadth. When you
breadth.
Look at, let's say, the LaFerrari.
Yeah.
They could have made that as crazy as the F12 TDF. They should have made that as crazy as the F12 TDF, but they didn't because they knew the clientele that was going to be driving it. And they knew that if they did make it that crazy, everyone would bin them.
Yeah, everyone would die. And then
the TDF is a little bit more of like that. It's a front engined. I think it's supposed to have that character.
I think so too. I think it makes that car a bit more of a halo car than it might have been if it was a bit more sanitized.
Yeah.
And it's just I find it very interesting, especially from your side, that with all of the stuff we've been able to do with all these amazing things, you would think that we'd be trying to buy LTs and specials and stuff like that. But
I drove an LT yesterday. It was pretty special. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie.
Okay, I'm sure it is.
That was a car that actually sort of got the hairs on my back
really
properly going. And
that's
I was
what
like,
James
oh, wow.
always said, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, but I just I find it interesting. I'm super happy. For me, the 360 was such a dream car that it's a car that I want to try and keep in my garage or my lineup for as long as possible in whatever shape or form. So I see it now that the Cayman is kind of like my evolution car and the 360 will stay there as a banker. Murcielago is a little bit of a different beast, I suppose, in that sense. But is this something that you want to get out of your system? Is this something that you just want to, like, what do you see this as?
I have filmed almost every single exhaust system on a Murcielago LP640 and it hasn't taken me too long to get into exhaust systems. But that to me has always been my dream car.
Okay.
Like going right back, my love for cars came from F1. It came from following Ferrari and Williams.
Funnily enough, we had a similar conversation with Miss Emma Walsh recently on Behind the Glass.
But it was only when, you know, like, because I've now got a 5-year-old, now 6, nephew, you like kind of cling on to any interest he pays attention to around Christmas and birthdays.
Sure.
So when I paid interest to F1, my parents got me a car book and I saw the 2001 launch pictures of the Lamborghini Murcielago. Mm-hmm. And that's where my love for road cars came from. So to me, the Murcielago is that car that will always remain in my garage. And I think the exciting thing that I want to try and achieve when I buy one is putting it back to almost factory condition. So like building it backwards.
Kind of restoring it slightly.
Kind of, yeah. But the exciting thing with this car is that it's not always going to start. And that's
welcome
me,
to my world.
Yeah. And I think like that's something that we have discussed as just an element to a road trip or an element to just
it's
owning
just life.
That car.
You know what? It's more of a bond. It sounds like it's such a weird thing to say to spend all this money on a car and then enjoy it when it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And you know, I know I've heard so. You know, oh, why does he enjoy when his car breaks down? But I don't enjoy it.
I get
a lot of pain from it. But there's something about the fact that when I go to find the Ferrari and I walk up to it,
you don't know whether it's going to start.
I don't know if it's going to unlock.
Yeah.
I'm just everything. But when it does, and when it is such an amazing feeling, such a great sensation. And don't get me wrong, there were plenty of times the McLaren didn't start. I genuinely didn't know if that would start. But the problem was I didn't get the emotion back from the car when it was working.
Yeah.
Whilst the Ferrari, you know, it makes no excuses for braking.
Yeah.
And what's hilarious, I've had this engine light thing that a lot of people on social media were sort of like thought was really serious and were going, oh, he hasn't shown the car. It's essentially turned out, I don't know when this will go out and I might have filmed another update, but from my phone call yesterday, the engine warning light came on because the oil was too cold.
Right.
On startup. Because I'd left the car for 5 days.
Yeah, and it's been freezing in the UK.
Hey, it's a car! world? What are you doing? So there's me thinking like, oh my God, I've broken my car. There's the internet thinking Sam's car, he's going to sell it now. And it was literally like, so there's a sort of hilarity to it, which I think is kind of enjoyable. When you look back, at the time it's terrifying, but when you
look back. Do you want to know a funny story about my Gallardo?
Go on.
Which was, well, it's quite an archaic car, even though it was a 2011 car. You know, Seb's driveway is really quite
steep. Yeah, really steep.
So I started
Seb's
my
old
car,
driveway, if, you don't, if you're not a subscriber Seb's of Seb Delaney. Old,
yeah. So that's quite steep. And when I was driving the Gallardo up the first time that I'd driven down, started the car up, drove up, and I got this mega oil pressure warning light. And I was like, what? I've just bought this car. What is going on? And I freaked out. And we went down for lunch, I think, and I spoke to Tim about it. And I said, the oil pressure is on my car. I don't know what to do. Do I call Lamborghini or whatever? And he was like, oh, did it happen on the Seb's driveway? And I said, yeah. And basically, it's because the oil tank... the oil has obviously gone like that, and the sensor's right at the top.
That's amazing.
So, like, that it's, could be the smallest thing that has actually got nothing to do with a problem with the car, but it's just how that car is
incredible.
Built.
Yeah, it's all of these things that are super unique. So, God knows where you are in your Murcielago story at the time that this podcast comes out. I'm having to pre-record a few of these because I've got some trips coming up, and so does Paul, which we will get onto towards the end of this podcast.
Right now, in the present day, I'm halfway through writing a draft email to VVS. That is where
that
I am in this situation.
Is what's happening.
I'm four paragraphs in, guys.
But what we can talk about, because we know that this will, we hope this will have happened, because if it's not, I'm going to have to edit this podcast real quick, is that you've just made a pretty huge announcement on your YouTube channel. You don't actually know what you would have said at this point, but you know what you were hoping to say.
This is the weirdest thing in the world.
Trying to talk about the future.
Yeah,
I apologize.
Massively talking in the future right now, because I don't know what words are going to come out of my mouth when I make the announcement video.
Top line, what will that video... I hope a lot of you will already know this, but what will that video say as a top line?
So it is essentially a new direction that I'm taking myself on personally within the automotive world, and that is undertaking the art of drifting.
Dum, 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 dum. Tokyo!
Yeah, I'm like so... excited about this, and this is something that I've been working on possibly for the last 6 to 12 months, and hopefully my video will explain where this passion and hunger to follow this direction has come from. But Jesus Christ, it's a big jump.
It's a huge jump. And the thing is, when you first started telling me about this, I was trying to track back in my mind when I saw that passion for drifting really, you know, start to build. And there are two times that I can think of. The first off is the nice time, which was probably the purchase of the AMG.
Yeah.
But if we're fair... you kind of were already talking about it, because when you had the Lambo, you were like, I'm annoyed with Quattro. I want to have rear-wheel drive. So you
I did
were,
slide the guy a couple
already,
of times. Do you,
you
remember?
Did. I remember. It was terrifying. Sometimes in a straight line.
Yeah.
So I don't know what had triggered it, because you were already thinking, oh, I want to go a bit sideways. So maybe you can think about that. But the other time, which was purely the best time ever, this is the point where you started to get a bit cocky. You've been sliding an AMG around for a while. You bought a rear-wheel drive Lamborghini because you were like, I'm a drifter.
What's the worst that can happen?
I like drift.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And on about day four of ownership, we were on a road trip down to Monaco. It was myself, Paul, James and Seb. Seb was in the Batmobile. I'm in the 540. James in his L2. We stopped for pizza. It's a very nice lunch.
Lovely pizza.
And as we're leaving the restaurant, it's basically a T-junction onto quite a big, wide, open road. Lots of tarmac, no traffic. And Paul was at the front. And we all have walkie-talkies at this point. I think the other guy's still up at the restaurant.
Yeah.
And I'm following Paul down. He says, probably the worst thing that anyone can say ever in a car, watch this, guys. And I just go, Paul, what are you doing? I can audibly hear him turn traction control off. It was when he pulls out to the road and does a massive spin, lands plonk in the center of the road, when suddenly cars appear and are coming. Paul, get out of there! Just a cloud of smoke.
Can I just add that about 5 minutes before we found this pizza restaurant, I nailed...
You did nail. You did nail a power slide. Not a drift, but a power slide. I think you then got really cocky.
Yeah.
But
it was the gravel on my tires.
Sure, whatever excuses you want. I hope now that you had a few more bits of training. But I do think this is mega exciting, because at the end of the day, how long can we all go around filming supercars drive past us on the street?
Well, yeah, it's something that I discovered fairly early on in my automotive journey, but it was something that I really sort of, it came to the forefront of my brain at the tail end of last year, and I spent a lot of time building towards this, that I just am really excited about learning car control to a level that probably will take me so far further than, I don't know, you never know how long YouTube's going to be around for. You never know how long making videos you're going to be around for. And it's something that I love. And if I could spend the rest of my life doing this and drifting and stunt driving, whatever it is, obviously making videos whilst doing that is the number one and what I cannot wait to document as a journey. But at the same time, looking quite far into the future in terms of how I can take my love for cars and supercars, but also make sure that there's a way that I can continue to follow my dreams or just do something that I love doing, rather than you never know what's going to happen in 10 years time.
Absolutely. No, I think it's a hugely brave step for your own personal safety, but also for your career. I think I'll wait till you've had a few lessons and proven yourself a bit before jumping into any kind of rattly drift car. But no, I think it's very exciting. I think it's very cool. I think you can head over obviously to Paul's channel, Supercars of London, to check out hopefully that announcement video.
I really hope that it does go live.
Well, I guess this will just get delayed, I guess, if it hasn't. So it will be live.
Yeah,
when this podcast goes out, it will be live.
And I think the most ludicrous aim for 2018 is obviously that end goal, which is Gymkhana Grid.
Oh yeah.
So every year Ken Block hosts his own.
Where is it in the world?
South Africa. It was South Africa in 2017. I don't know what is happening in 2018, but my goal,
it's proper Need for Speed. Only those who need to know.
My goal is to get entry into that.
That'd be ridiculous.
And compete, which...
I just come and lay banana skins all over the track. Go on, Donkey Kong. Amazing. Anyway, big congrats. I say you can head over to all of Paul's channels to find out more about that. I want to shift things a little bit away from the supercars and the drifting and talk about probably one of the biggest moments or most successful moments of our year last year, which was the Hot Hatch Tour.
Or Saloon.
I mean, I was trying to be nice to you for a second, but yeah, the Hot Hatch Plus Saloon Tour, something that we were planning for about 6 months, took forever to put into place, was relatively last minute.
It did, yeah.
But went down incredibly well, and we had a brilliant time, yeah. And it was amazing to see the reaction of everybody. I think it seemed to be a new format, something that people are really getting behind. And before talking about our sort of plans to continue it, why do you think it was so successful?
Why do I think it was so successful? Probably the mistake. It wasn't actually a mistake. No.
The fact that you bought the wrong car.
The fact.
Could that be why it was so successful?
The fact that I bought the wrong car obviously was such a huge talking point, and it's something that I was more than happy to get behind and jump on the bandwagon and almost take the mick out of my own self, because originally I was getting a hatchback. We were all going to have hatchbacks.
We were all going to have red hatchbacks.
Yeah, and no, mine was going to be Nardo Grey.
Oh, okay.
And I declined it because it was the same spec as Archie's car.
Sorry, you're right. Okay, fine.
And I didn't want to obviously clash in terms of his posters and my posts, so I asked for a different spec'd car, and I got a saloon. Not that, that made any difference, because my car was obviously leagues above yours.
Yeah, it was a completely different bracket.
Whether I had a saloon or a hatchback, it would have been the same.
It would have been
outcome.
A super hatch or a super saloon, which either
exactly.
one.
Exactly. But I think what was so successful about it was the fact that it was so last minute. It was so spontaneous. We had no expectations for it, but we just had so much fun.
Yes, we had a wicked time.
And also, I think the organization that went into it, that was so simple, that allowed us to have so much time to film each video, meant that none of us were stressing. We were all helping each other, because we basically just all filmed the entire day and then dumped all of the content to whoever's video was going live that day.
For sure.
So whilst the person that was hosting the video that day had the stress of editing the entire thing put together, as filming sometimes can be stressful to get everything in before the light fades or whatever it is. Have I got the right angles? Have I got the drone up? Have I got
B-roll? Especially when you're doing a road trip, when it's continuous, and you're trying to get somewhere anyway, it's then exhausting. What was good is it was quite a localized trip. Whilst it was called the Hot Hatch Tour, we were kind of based out of the same place for most nights. Yeah. So we kind of went out, filmed all day and came back. So we were much more in control of our time. And as you say, we had a lot more freedom with the, because it was coming, what, October? So the days, was light was starting to fade. Mm. The weather was starting to come in.
And it was freezing.
But one thing which I think was very important, which I think we did well, which I'd be interested to find out whether people enjoyed, is all the other road trips we've done, we've all been on, and we've all put out as much content as we could possibly do. And we've all been filming on the same days, trying to come up with different narratives, blah, 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 blah.
Which is the hardest thing.
The hardest thing when you're all doing the same thing in the same place, especially the sort of, you know, London to freaking Monaco, because this is a straight road trip. But for this time, we specifically went, can we do something different here? And can we just do one video each day, but with all of us, you know,
contributing to the content.
Thank you. Contributing to the content.
Lucky my monster's kicking in.
So I, you know, and I think personally that's why it works so well. Yeah. And I know a lot of people were like, I did see some comments saying, oh, you should each film your own video and upload your own narrative. But I don't think that works so well on such a small, localized trip.
No, I think it does work well when we've all got new cars. There's excitement around heading down to the south of France or wherever we go for a car event. Then, whilst it is tricky for us to each come up with a different narrative, there is still that excitement there.
Exactly.
Both with ourselves, but also from a content upload point of view, that, of course, it's perfectly fine for us all to upload our different angle from the day in our each different cars. But for something like the Hot Hatch Tour, it just felt right. And I'm going to credit you, because it was your idea to do all of the alternate filming, which worked amazingly.
I wanted to bring it up. But, you know.
But I think that it really opens doors for us to now treat our tours to 3, 6, 9, or 12-day trips where we can alternate content and each upload.
That's exactly it. You know, we have been talking ever since the Hot Hatch Tour. We have been talking about how to follow up with it. I feel like it will have to forever be called the Hot Hatch Tour. It doesn't matter what we're in, but it's now like that's become the brand name now, Hot Hatch Tour.
Yeah.
But I think obviously our aim is to try and change up the category of cars. So whether it is 4x4s, saloons.
For me to bring the right car.
For you to bring the right car would be a huge step in the right direction. As Paul already mentioned, I think try and do it in those 3-day blocks so that we can still, you know, work that one person uploads each day, so you guys can follow the story by jumping between the channels. It gives a different flavor to the editing, it gives a different flavor to the storytelling, but we're all still involved. So the hardest thing right now, the hardest thing is finding a time when Paul, James and I can all do something together for more than 3 days.
It's frustrating. It is.
Realistically, it is going to be around top marks in April, isn't it? Which is ridiculous. It kind of defeats the whole purpose.
It fits in nicely, but you never know. Like, there could be diary changes somewhere along the way.
Fundamentally, in April, there's always the top marks Monaco post pre-European road trip type situation, which I'm sure will be happening in some form.
And I'm sure we'll each be hitting the road at some point, whether we cross paths or not, around the Geneva time.
Exactly, exactly. So
I definitely want to do something.
It's in the plans, but the last one took about 6 months. We first started talking about it during the Corsica Sardinia trip April last year, and we did it in October. So bear with us. We're working on it, and as soon as we find a chance, we will do it.
If you would like to help us out with further planning on something like this, and you are on social media, please tag Netflix so we can get this sponsored.
Very good point, Netflix. I do love Netflix. I'm a remote somewhere.
Like any other of the streaming services.
Basically, whatever. Big money. Just give us lots of money is essentially what we're trying to ask.
This much longer, we'll pay for it.
So I guess that neatly brings us on to my final topic for today's podcast, which is just about road trips in general. We just talked about the potential hot hatch tour, but also Geneva and sort of top marks Monaco. We really haven't, at least I don't think we have, this is awkward if you haven't invited me, put in place any plans around top marks yet. We had that epic road trip, which was far too short. We all exhausted ourselves last year doing Corsica
Which one?
And Sardinia.
Oh, Red Crew versus Orange Crew.
Red Crew versus Orange Crew, which was literally just exhausting. So I think maybe we'll try and be a bit more sensible with our logistics this year. But
let's get ferries everywhere.
Yeah. In the middle of the night. And only spend 4 hours on each island. But that for sure will be something. What else have you got coming up? Have you got any big road trips? Not flying, but any big road trips?
Road trips. Planned. I would love to do something around Geneva. I don't know what that is yet, but obviously with the incoming new daily M3 replacement, whatever that is. Prop C63. I do want to take that on a road trip.
Okay.
Because one of the highlights that I had in 2017 was taking my M3 up to the North Coast 500.
Yes, that was awesome. I do remember those videos.
It was utterly incredible. And I think that this drifting stuff is going to take me quite far around the UK, so I'm really looking forward to exploring new parts of the UK, towns, cities, countryside, and hopefully tracks to practice and continue developing my drifting stuff. A road trip that I really want to do is the West Coast of America. Trying to find a car that is already out there and
Chevrolet Camaro ZL1.
Yeah. But when I was in LA in October or November, which I know that you're incredibly jealous about, so I'll keep this quite short and sweet. I was talking to a friend of mine out there that drives an F-Type V8.
I know who you're talking
about. All-wheel drive. And he is so...
All-wheel drive. Go!
And Kevin was super keen about taking a couple of cars and doing a road trip. So
can I just say... might be controversial. There is something called Modborelli USA, which does happen in October and is usually around the West Coast of America. John Modbull.
I see you, John.
But no, that is one trip which I think... I still want to do coast to coast as well.
I still want to do coast to coast. That is bucket list stuff.
Why don't you come to Car Week this year?
That is a
good
shout.
Because you went to Monterey, but you went to see whales. you can see money whales instead during August. Come to Car Week.
I know. I need to get to Car
Week. Then because then you're up in that kind of part of the world.
Every year, I try and come, and the flights are too
Book
expensive.
Book it now.
They're still too expensive.
It's the most expensive trip of the year. It's literally about $7,000 for 1 week, which is brilliant. Yeah. Anything else? So, yes, Geneva. I will be in Geneva in a very exciting car, so feel free to get involved.
Is it a V12?
No, it's V8T. cool. Anywhere else? You haven't got anything else planned or plugged in yet? Good topic if not.
Yeah, as I saw you typing this out pre-podcast, I was actually going, road trips?
I haven't got any road trips lined up.
No, but no doubt there will be something around Goodwood Festival.
Yeah, we're far away. I mean... We're far off the road trip season, which really kicks off, I think, in April with the Top Marks trip. There might be a cheeky Geneva one, but previous years we've flown in and out. So there might be a cheeky one, but I think the first big ones will be in April. And then from there, it usually descends into pure chaos and madness. But anyway, that clearly was a pointless topic to throw onto the end.
We could talk about.
Oh, we got 3 minutes. Go for it.
Where did the name podcast come from?
Ah, interesting you should ask. Basically, I don't know.
Like, it's weird. I was driving here going, podcast.
No, but
who came up with that name?
Let's Google it. Because I did actually know. Somebody asked me.
You knew?
Day. Yeah, yeah.
And you forgot?
Yeah,
surely
yeah.
That's information that would stay in your brain.
No.
Like, that's pub it's, quiz stuff.
It's kind of random. there's no internet
connection. I've killed it from uploading a video.
Turn my Wi-Fi back on. It's because Tony's got really dodgy Wi-Fi.
Has he?
It really like always sends me
he's
weird.
He's got a whole new showroom, but he hasn't sorted Wi-Fi out.
Still hasn't moved into a showroom as well. Every time I go down there, it's closed.
Tony.
Right. Tony, right, here we go. Come on. Podcast. Okay.
Yeah, where did the name come from?
Podcast.
The word. Oh, here we go.
Go on, read it out.
The word originated as a portmanteau of iPod
and broadcast.
Does Apple own the word podcast?
Probably. They own everything else, including our bank details, which have been hacked. Podcast is an iPod thing. Wow.
I did think that pod could have come from iPod.
Amazing, because realistically, this podcast is like the least available platform it's on is an iPod.
Mm. Do iPods still exist?
I sound hungry. Yeah. Oh.
Can you buy an iPod Shuffle?
Must be able to buy some
iPod Classic?
Again, it's got a laptop right here. can't be asked.
Do you know what? This is actually the reason why I brought this up, because I missed Tech Corner in your podcasts.
If you remember, I don't think anyone will remember, the early podcast of which Paul was a guest, we had Tech Corner when Joel was still working here. A lot of you have been asking, by the way, about Joel. Joel and I always had a short-term agreement. It was a six-month opportunity or position that I was looking to fill. He filled it for 6 months. It was brilliant. It was great. But that was always the plan. I just needed some help over the busy spring and summer period. Anyway, so yeah, we had a section which was like Tech Corner, which is like a chance for me and Joel basically try and get free gear. So we were like, if you send us that drone, we'll talk about it on the podcast.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's how you
engineered it in. Because...
But also because I am a camera nerd, let's face it.
Yeah.
So I do like to talk about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, that rounds up our episode of Behind the Glass. Paul, thank you very much for coming on and being a guest. Hugely exciting news being announced today or last week or last month, whenever this goes live.
Today.
About Paul's life.
Yeah.
So I hope you guys have enjoyed it. Make sure to head over to his various channels to follow him. Make sure to subscribe to the Behind the Glass YouTube channel if you want to watch these episodes. Make sure to also subscribe on soundcloud.com/seenthroughglass and iTunes podcast if you want to listen to us. And final words from Paul.
I was just going to say, click that little bell so you get the notification if you subscribe to Behind the Glass.
That's why he's got three times more subscribers than I do. Catch up with you guys very, very soon. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.